Hello, hello, travel entrepreneurs. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to cordially invite you to the first ever Travel Tech Audio Summit happening on May 31st of this year. Woo! If you have been wanting to dive into the latest and greatest of tech within our industry and get a little bit of clarity as to all the different things you can utilize to work smarter but not harder within your travel industry, you will want to register, and actually registration is free until May 31st when the episodes go live. You do have to sign up so that you can get your private access link to add the episodes to your podcast player of choice. So remember, head on over to travelbiztraining.com. You're going to hear from amazing experts, including Sequence, Lucia, Travify, TA Toolkit, and Fam Guru, just to name a few of the interviews. I cannot wait to bring this experience live to you. Remember, head on over to Travel Biz Training to register so that you can add those podcast episodes to your favorite podcast player of choice. All right, now let's get into the episode. Hello, travel biz owner. Welcome to my corner of the travel industry, the Strategic Travel Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're ready to have fun, be inspired, get clarity, and take action in your travel business, then you're in the right place. Let's jump in. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Fantastic to have you here today. I am super stoked out for our conversation. I have an amazing special guest, Roz Rantz, all the way from down under, literally from Australia, coming on. If you have ever heard of other industry podcasts called Travel Agent Achievers, she is the incredible host. I know I listened to this back in 2020 when everything was happening in the pandemic, and it really was like a helpful light. And I know, especially after our preach out, we have so many synchronicities and we align so well. And I cannot wait for the chat that we are about to have and help just, again, provide you some guidance and clarity in your travel business and hopefully get you oomphed up that you take whatever action it is that you need to be taking right now. So without further ado, welcome Roz to the show.
Hi, Rita. Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here to talk to you about all of the things. So grateful that you also have a podcast here to support and encourage the travel industry, because it brings so much life to everybody else. And I know the gift that you have to be able to share your knowledge and expertise helps so many. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I think like this is a hidden passion that I didn't know, but really I think also a lot of things came out from this pandemic, and it was really providing straight talk to the travel industry about things that you need to know about navigating this. So let's get into it, because we have similar yet different backgrounds. You also started in a semi-corporate background and became travel agency owner. So what were you doing before, and how did you get into our world?
Oh my goodness. I've always had a passion for the hospitality, the travel, the tourism industry, right back to when I was in school. So my very first job, I was working at McDonald's. It was like here in Australia, it was one of those things that you get a great customer service job. And I loved it. Like I was the one that was up at 5 a.m. in the morning doing the open shifts and finishing at midnight. I loved the community. I loved the customer service. I loved helping people. And I loved the training that came with it. So training became a really big part of my world. And knowing that if I wanted to get to the next place, I needed to understand how to get there. I needed to learn, but also implement and take action. And so right back then, I knew that education was a part of my core and what I love to do. And from that, it then led into five-star hotels, into sales roles, into a whole range of different things. And I really ended up in my corporate role for over 10 years as the director of sales and marketing for international education providers. So I worked for a Swiss hotel school in Australia. I worked for the University of Sydney. I worked for Kaplan Education, which is a big American company as well, promoting Australia as a destination for international students. So I was very fortunate to be able to travel the world, put my Tourism Australia hat on, put education hat on, and speak about how incredible the opportunities were in many different industries for our future leaders. And I loved it. I had so many incredible experiences in travel that I wouldn't have even dreamt about before. I can remember, and I have a photo of myself on the Great Wall of China one of my trips to China, being in Norway when it was minus 30 degrees, and I was standing on a stage in front of 300 university graduates in like a movie theater talking about Australia. And I was there saying, here are the beaches. Here is what is waiting for you. Like, I will never forget these things. And outside it's snowing and freezing, and being in Brazil, the chaos around it, but also the incredible food and the people. And I had this massive calling, I think. Not only was my job very demanding in corporate, and being the director of sales and marketing, I was across a lot of different things. So I was managing hundreds of staff. I had several schools in Australia that I had to do all their sales and marketing budgets for, in the multi-million dollars that I was responsible for. And I was only in my 20s. It was crazy that I had this incredible level of responsibility, but I was so passionate about it that it felt easy for me. And I took those risks to apply for those jobs. And we were saying before about how women and men are applying for different jobs. I just went for it, and I backed myself, and I went, you know what, if I don't learn anything, like if I don't learn from my mistakes, I will never learn. But I also had some incredible mentors along the way who gave me beautiful nuggets of advice that then led into my own business. But I got to a point in my corporate career where I was traveling so much, I was hardly home. I'm ashamed to admit it in some things, that I missed family birthdays. I missed my friends' weddings. I missed, births of friends' kids. And I was traveling the world like a single person, having an amazing time. I'll just put that out there. And I then went, you know what? I just want to come home. I want to come home. I want to be in Australia. I want to build a life where I drive down the, I drive around a corner coming from the Sydney airport, and I could smell the ocean. And I was like, I'm home. And so for me, it was a big decision. It was almost like a snap decision that I said, you know what, I'm leaving my corporate world. And I became a mobile home-based travel advisor. Just like that. I had no experience with Galileo, Sabre, Amadeus, the flight archaic systems that we still use today.
Right.
I had no experience with suppliers and wholesalers, but I backed myself, and I said I had no clients. I had no operational knowledge of the systems, but I knew how sales and marketing worked. Okay. I backed myself. I knew how customer service worked. And I also had my own experience. As a corporate advisor, there were little things that would tick me off. One, if you didn't enter my frequent flyer number into that booking so that I was acknowledged and I could board in the business, line, even though I wasn't flying business, that would annoy me. If I didn't have my seating preferences, like I preferred a window seat, because on a 8-hour flight, I did not get up. I was scared of flying. So I was like, there are little things that are really important to me as a traveler. And I thought, and I knew that I could do better. So for me, I started. And I just launched into it, and everybody said that I was crazy. I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, you've come from this incredible corporate career. You're now a travel agent? Like, this just doesn't match up for you. And I was like, this is where my heart is. And it was almost like there was around me, people were just saying, how are you going to make a career out of this? Like, this is almost like a hobby job. And if somebody backs me into a corner and says, you can't do this, or doubts my ability, or doubts who I am as a person,
right?
Mate, that's like a bull at a gate for me. I may not go all out and, you know, be showy about it because that's not me. I'm very private. I'm an introvert at heart. Mm-hmm. I can be in big crowds, but then I'm very happy to go back to a hotel room and just soak up nothing and space. I'm very happy in that place. So for me, it was, you know what? I'm going to do this and I really want to do this and I want to do it well. And so I built a multi-million dollar travel business by myself with no other help, without the support, but there were a few crucial things that I knew that I needed. One was business coaching and mentorship, having the right people in my corner, and also a supportive community. I knew that in order to succeed, I had to have certain people around me that I could bounce ideas off.
Yes.
And I know we're going to talk about being an agency owner versus advisor and those sorts of things. I really took the two as one. I was a professional travel advisor. And I said, here, I will give you my skills and knowledge and help you get from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. My expertise is in, and I would list out the things that I was really good at. And I know, my clients know, that if something happens wherever they are in the world, I am there for them in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to a stalker point, but they don't know that. And I'm following them. You know, as travel advisors, we do that. We kind of see, you know, what's coming up. Is the transfer, next transfer organized? Is the hotel all sorted? Have they got an amenity in their room? Those sorts of things. Like we do all that. The client has no idea. And I'm not going to go and tell them that, hey, you know, I'm right there following you on your journey and stalking your social media. I'm not that kind of person, but I am there telling them that if anything happens, I drop everything and I'm there for you. That is part of my service offering. From a travel agency owner, it was like I needed to wear all of these hats. As a home-based advisor, yes, you might get paid a commission or an amount from a host agency or, you know, however your setup works. But at the end of the day, the buck stops with you.
Right.
You have to be doing the bookings. You have to be doing the sales. If you're not out there marketing and promoting yourself, then you're not going to get any business.
That's exactly.
Oh my gosh. There was just so many extra things. So my background, yes, has come from the corporate world, always with a passion for hospitality, tourism, travel, the industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. And then now moving forward, that business, I just love it. Anything to do with business, bring it on.
Yes. Okay. Lots to unpack in there. So when you decided you were going to be an agency owner, did you quit your corporate job cold turkey and immediately go forward, or was it like a trickle effect?
Oh no, I went cold turkey.
Oh my God. Okay. I am both shocked, but I also love that because there's so many people, and especially from the women perspective, and I bring up a lot about the female perspective because last month I was on a fam and so many women are like very self-conscious about themselves and just lack the confidence. And I'm like, but you can do it. Like, I believe in you. So what was it like? What was the gusto? Because I know you said when you feel backed into a corner, it's extra fire for you, because I feel the very same way. But was there anything that you're like, was there a plan, or like, I just know it's going to work?
No, I didn't know that it was going to work.
Okay.
But I went to the worst case scenario, which is what I do with those that are part of the Achievers and our membership program now. And I said to myself, and it was actually a call from my sister. So she at the time worked in mental health and suicide prevention. And she called me at 10 o'clock at night, and I was still in my corporate job. I was working in the office. And she said to me, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm working with the UK market at the moment. We're just trying to tidy up a few things for our budgets. And she's like, can that not wait until tomorrow? And I was like, no, my pizza's here. Hang on. I've just got to go and get the delivery. It's downstairs in the office. I'll be right back. She's like, what are you doing there? Like, that is crazy. She said, Roz, in my job, if I don't answer the phone, yes, it can be life or death. But if you don't get an email out tonight about student numbers or whatever you're doing, she said, what's the worst thing that can happen? And I have carried that with me ever since, because that is the reality and that is the fact. What
for me, when I chose to have my own business within a business, you know, the host agency, but my business within a business, I then said, what's the worst that can happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and I went, the worst thing that can happen is I go and get another job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, if yep. this doesn't work, and it, I knew that it would take time because if you book something, you don't necessarily get paid straight away. You might have to wait until that client travels or however your system is set up. I knew that there was that longevity there. I'd done the numbers. How long can I last for if I need to get some casual or temping work, or if I need to go and do some marketing work for another person? That's fine. I can do that. Mm-hmm. There isn't, I'm not too proud to do that. But I was also thinking, what is the worst thing that can happen?
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing is I've had an incredible career. I've got a lot of connections. I know and trust my own skills. I can go and get a job.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you mentioned that too, because through pandemic, I have an autoimmune disease. I've been seeing a therapist for a couple of years now. And I remember that that's one of the exercises that she would have me do. It's kind of like written on a worksheet. And so I had multiple sewer backups in my house once. And so one of the things that kind of triggers me in my home is if I hear running water and I don't like know where it's coming from. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to be another backup. And then using the worksheet, it's like, what's the worst that can happen? You call the plumber. The plumber's going to check where the leak is coming from and they're going to fix it. If they can't fix it, and you kind of like break everything down and you're like, oh, I was worried yeah. for nothing.
Well, that's it. But we are, I think as travel professionals, we run on adrenaline a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I know that there is adrenal fatigue out there. There is burnout yeah. out there right now. There is all of this mental health discussions happening. And I'm really proud of the fact that we can openly discuss this, or we can start to have those conversations right. to let everybody know that you are not alone. But mm-hmm. when you're running on such high adrenaline all the time, and in what we do in our roles, we tend to go to that worst case for our clients. Mm-hmm. And if we do that ourselves, then that is like an emergency.
Yes.
So what we do to try and get through that as business owners and as travel professionals is like, right, let's just get that list going. We've got to get through this list. Tick it off. Right. What's the next thing? Just tick it off. And we keep going and keep going without actually realizing that our adrenaline is still just burning. It might be burning at a lower level, but mm-hmm. we are just continuously doing it, and we're not taking care of ourselves, which then triggers so many more things in our mental capacity and everything else. Mm-hmm. It's like this massive vicious cycle. So yeah. for travel business owners, this is where I say you need to have that community. You need to have the support, and you need to have people that you can trust and talk to
yep.
and understand you. Like, yes. Let's be real here. With your family and friends, Rita, who do you talk to about business?
Fellow business owners, because the ones that don't own a business don't understand.
Correct. There is definitely the employee mentality mm-hmm. and the business owner mentality, two different yep. things. And yep. as travel professionals, small business owners, travel agency owners, whatever we want to call ourselves, we are in this different mindset. So if you go to your brother, sister, mother, father, friend and go, oh my gosh, all of these things happen,
mm-hmm.
they don't get it, because at the end of the day, the buck stops with you.
Right.
You are that person that if you don't do the work, the money doesn't come in. They might hold an employee mentality, which is, I'm still going to get paid if I call in sick tomorrow or not. Two very different mindsets.
Right. And I love yeah. how you mentioned that too, because I'm like, and we have to account for those call-in days differently as owners. So why was it important for you to be an owner versus just a regular travel business or travel advisor?
Why not go all in? I wanted to do my own thing. Why not? Why not? Like, I honestly didn't want to go and work for somebody else. Mm-hmm. I wanted the lifestyle for me mm-hmm. because I'd been traveling so much, because I was running on adrenaline and racing all the time in my corporate role. I just wanted to slow down.
Yeah.
So I wanted to determine my future. I didn't want somebody telling me that I had to be in an office at you know, 7:30 a.m. or 9 a.m., whatever it was, or I had a meeting at 7 o'clock at night, I wanted to have that flexibility and freedom. And so for me, that was really important. Mm-hmm. I wasn't married. I didn't have kids. But I knew that if I wanted to get up and go for a walk in the morning, I could. If I wanted to go and work in a cafe, I could. If I wanted to go and see my mum or go and meet my nan and have, you know, a caramel latte that all of my sisters and my mum were like, don't give her that, she's 90. And I was like, nah, we're going for a caramel latte. You know, all of those things, I wanted life experience and I didn't want somebody telling me how to do it.
Yep.
Now, so my life is changed, you know, for the last 8.5 years, I've now been a mum. Mm. I've got an incredible son. I've got a husband who also has his own business, who came off touring the world with major bands so that we could have our family together. Like, I'm very grateful for the life that we have. We live right on the beach, exactly what I wanted. Love it's that. A very different lifestyle, but uh-huh. I can still have my own hours. And that is because I've grown my business in a way that I am very protective of my family, the time that I want to be outside. I want to take him to school. I want to pick him up in the afternoon. I want to go to that swimming lesson. I want to be there for those moments.
Right.
But in order to do that, I need to be my own boss.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine now going back and being an employee and somebody says, no, sorry, you need to put your son in after school care and you cannot go and pick him up from school. I'm like, what? What do you mean?
Nope.
Important to me. So it is. It's what's important to me. And that's why being a business owner is mm-hmm. where I will stay.
Yeah. Did you always feel like you had that balance? Because I know, like, that's the dream, that we want everything that you've been saying, to be the freedom to be able to make our own decisions. But did that immediately come? Like, did you structure your business that way?
No way. Nobody is real with you. Like, let's be honest. Right. That is a dream. That is a dream. And I think at different stages as you grow. So as you grow, you're going to weave through. There's no straight linear path that leads you to success, whatever mm-hmm. success is for you, because everybody's success is different.
Right.
It's always a roller coaster. And I talk about that roller coaster mm-hmm. very openly. I grew my multi-million-dollar travel business through, yes, hard work and determination, but definitely living the lifestyle. Now, remember, I was single. I was single, living the life, having a great time, no yep. kids, no no family. So yeah. as soon as I had my son, no one, not one of my friends who were all employees, a couple were business owners, but no one told me how hard it would be. No one told me that a baby screaming and crying takes priority over a phone call from a client that needs to get to LA tomorrow. Like yeah. there was just none of that. And so I had this massive realization when my son was born, as a business owner, no maternity leave, no paternity leave, no one else there to support you. It's like, whoa, how am I going to do all of these things? I had to let a lot of my travel business go because I had to make hard decisions. My sister flew home from Germany. She lived in Germany for 18 years. Mm-hmm. She flew home just to answer my phone for me because I physically could not do that. I could not answer the phone. I couldn't talk to anyone. I felt so ashamed. There was a lot of guilt. How am I going to have my family and my business? Like, I went into this massive spiral. I then had another roller coaster moment where one of my big clients was in mining oil and gas, mm-hmm. and I loved it. I would mobilize, and this is where I got into this whole groups thing. I would mobilize 40 or 50 guys at a single time to land in a destination from all over the world within hours of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they were crazy places. Like, I was sending them to Mozambique and far places up in Europe that you wouldn't even think to get to. But, and I had this very tight window and I loved that. That client moved their business from Australia to America and they went, Roz, we love working with you, but it just doesn't make sense that we're now on different time zones. We need to work with an American company. Oh, I was gutted, absolutely gutted. I lost a lot of business right then and there. Mm-hmm. And from that, I learned so many different things. I learned not to put all my eggs in one basket. I learned after my son was born to get help. And there were all of these learnings. And that's why, as travel business owners, we're not just one thing. We are many. We do all of the things, and we need that support and that structure and that community and people to help us navigate new paths, because a lot of us haven't done this before. A lot of advisors that I speak to have either just come through the travel industry and then starting their own business, or they've come from elsewhere into travel through a passion. And so whatever that is that now you're a business owner. You need to get
surprise.
You need to get smart. You need to get smart with this. You need to look at your marketing. You need to look at your sales. You need to look at your operations, your staffing, your taxes, your like all of these different things. You need to understand and be across it. You can't just focus on your client experience and booking travel. It's not easy. And that's where I have learned. I am very fortunate now. I have a team of advisors who work specifically for me, and they manage all of our clients. I am still the face. I am still the one making the big decisions. I am still the one that is doing the big things, but I have a team who are in Galileo and Amadeus and Sabre. I have not been in those systems for years. I don't even know how to book my own flights anymore because they do it all for me. I forget, or I'm like, I don't need that carrying my brain space right now. I need to let that go. Let somebody else handle that for me. So I don't think it's an easy journey, but it is an incredibly fulfilling journey for those that really want to do something for themselves, but also for others. And that is, we get this incredible opportunity to curate experiences for people who want to explore this planet. That is an absolute privilege and an honor for me to be able to do that for other people because they don't know how to do it, or because that's my expertise. That is my knowledge, my skill set, my expertise, my love, my passion. I get that opportunity to do that, but I need the support in order to do it.
Right. I was going to ask, because you have so much support behind you, what was your first hire in your business? And do you think it was the right one, or would you have done something differently?
My first hire was a girlfriend, actually, and she worked right with me in an office. Only for a couple of days a week. And she put together documents for me. She followed up with suppliers. She called, wholesalers, suppliers, and made sure that all the details were correct. She did the administration work that I didn't need to do that took up time. So that was a fantastic investment for me. And it also gave me the company to spend some time with a friend, go and have lunch together. But I was able to get the work done a lot faster. So that was a small investment that helped me grow a lot faster. My second hire was an international staff member, a virtual assistant. And she was like a daughter to me. I will never forget her. She worked with me for many years. And really, she was a general virtual assistant, which meant that she did a lot of behind the scenes work. She wasn't in the travel systems, but she helped with all of our spreadsheets, documents, following up on suppliers again, client control stuff with birthdays and anniversaries and cards and emails and newsletters and marketing stuff. So she was fantastic in that role. I knew, though, if I was to grow, I needed somebody to support me from a travel personnel perspective. And that's when I then hired, who is now my right hand. I just saw her. I spent 2 weeks in the Philippines with her, Mayette. She said to me, probably the first day that I was there, she's like, "Oh, it's my work wife." because we talk to each other all the time. She's been with me now almost 5.5 years. And she handles the behind the scenes in the travel system. She's incredible. She knows that if there is an emergency, I give the direction, this is what we need to get done. She's the one that implements and takes actions on it. She doesn't want to be the front face. She hates being on stage. Whenever I'm at an event and I call her up, she hates it. I'm getting photos and those sorts of being in videos. She's like, no, don't put me out there. But that's why we work so well. So I have that right-hand person now who works behind the scenes to take care of our clients. She's in direct contact with the clients as well, but I still remain that front face.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it's grown from that. She now has an assistant. We've got marketing people. You know, we do the things that either I don't have time for or I'm not good at.
Okay.
So we get the support in those roles, or, you know, where does the business need to expand? And that could even be contractors. And I've had contractors that have jumped in just to help me with graphic design. Mm-hmm. You know, they've jumped in to say, oh, when I've said, I've got this group experience, I need a flyer, itinerary, booking forms, all of these things. Here's all the content to go in them. Please create something pretty that is on brand. Creative person. I know that. I will share that. I am not, do not give me a flyer because I don't know how to do it. Give me a template and I'm good, but not something creative. So in each of, you know, my areas of growth, I have then hired support to help me because I will grow faster.
Yeah,
and getting that professional support or getting, you know, the people who that is their jam, I would rather pay them because that's the other thing is the different pay scales as well. Mm-hmm. As the business owner, I'm responsible for everything. If I can pay somebody $10, $20, $30 an hour to do something that would take me 4 or 5 hours to do, I will happily pay that.
Right.
Because also the two different scales there is that is their jam. That's what they're really good at. I'll pay them $30. But for me, that 1 hour or 2 hour that it takes them, I can go and grab and get a new client for a lot more money. Where is my time better spent? I don't want to get caught up in that wheel of trying to do everything and fail.
Well, and that's something that I was thinking about too, is cash flow has been like a big topic of mine on my brain recently. And so when you were kind of starting to make these hiring decisions and thinking about cash flow, I know you said you were ready for help, but would you say financially you were ready or you were gearing up to make that next step?
It's always a stretch for me, always. And I go to the worst possible situation. Okay, what happens after 3 months if I can't afford this person? I'm going to have to let them go, or I'm going to have to go and get a job to supplement the income, right? So I do the worst case scenario for everything. I am an incredibly positive person. I'm the biggest cheerleader. I love seeing other people succeed. I would rather somebody else succeed over myself. Like, I have no competition in that. It's all collaboration for me. I love seeing that in other people. When it comes to my business, I look at the numbers and I will always say, how long can I sustain this for? Without going to the worst case scenario, or, you know, what do I need for that person to perform in order to be covering and making more than what they're actually getting paid? So I do need to make those hard decisions as a business owner, and it can be scary, but there is something that I say to a lot of people, which is it a scary no-brainer or is it just plain scary? Is it a no-brainer? Where you go, yeah, done. Like, here's my credit card, pay for it.
Exactly.
Or is it a scary no-brainer? Like, where your tummy's getting butterflies and it's like, oh, can I really do this? How long is it going to take for me to get the money back? Like, is it going to be a great investment? Are they going to work out? Are they going to be a great employee? Yes, they interviewed really well, but are they actually able to do all the things that they said? You know, you go through all of that when you were in that hiring process. So is it a scary no-brainer, which is half and half? I'm a little bit scared. My gut is churning. I've got the butterflies, but I need to make that decision. So it's a no-brainer. Yes, I need help. Or is it an absolute scary, like, I really don't feel like this is going to work for me? No. So three different
things. Yeah, because and we talked a little bit about this before we went live. There's like just been an influx of so many different programs or templates or buy this or that. And people just like are like, okay, I'll buy that. I'll buy that. But I'm like, can we all be just a little bit more mindful? Because some things are really worthy investments. And some things I'm like, you just wasted your money because you're already doing this or whatever it is. So how do you use discernment when you're making those types of decisions?
I'm very intentional. I say, where is my area of weakness, or what do I need help with right now? Because sure, we can get caught up. I still do in people's marketing excitement. Oh, I just want to be in. I want to buy that. I want to do that.
Yes.
But I'm also very conscious of taking action. Like, it's great to join a program. It's great to download a free resource. It's great to buy into something, for sure. Go to a fam, go to things, but take action and know exactly what you want out of that. You know, I see this all the time with, you know, even myself joining different programs or coaching things, or I will jump in and I'll be like, hang on, do I actually have the time to implement?
Right.
How many other things am I trying to do right now? And this is why, even with our mastermind, I'm like, we're focusing on one thing a month. Just one area, one thing. I don't want to give you everything. Sure, you can go back into the back library. You can go and do what is right thing for you. Focus on that one thing. Take action, because at the end of the year, there will be 10 things, 11 things, 12 things that you will have moved forward on in your business, that you've made progress, that you've seen growth, you've seen differentiation, and you are able to flourish. Like, we don't do that enough. We don't celebrate the success. We don't look back on how much we've actually accomplished, because we're so tied up in the day-to-day doing, ticking off the list, just keep moving forward. Like, we don't have brain space for anything else right now.
And right.
Let me put this out there to you, Rita. Like, let's be honest. What I'm seeing now more and more and more is all the suppliers are back going, hey, pick me, pick me. Here's my amazing training program. And if you do my training program, I'm going to give you a $50 voucher, or you go in the opportunity for a draw for something. And as travel professionals or travel business owners, previously, pre-COVID, yeah, we were so excited about all those sorts of things. It was like the little incentives to make you do the training. And we are seeing that now more and more and more. But where is the help that is actually going to help you in your business? Who was there when the pandemic hit?
Amen.
And all the suppliers went quiet. Like, I love them to bits. I am very particular with who I work with, who supported me. But what happened there? Who was there to help you work on your business that got you through the hard times, that is then helping you move forward?
Right.
Who is helping you move forward and continuously take action? Now, yes, we all need supplier training. We all need that knowledge. But I am very conscious with who I am now doing all of that training with. Where is my business going? And I have to have that business knowledge and that business mentorship and coaching to know exactly what I want to do in my travel business so that I can make smart choices for the direction of my business now. So if I look at it and I go, oh, there's a cruising thing that, you know, has just come out, and do I actually sell that? Do I sell and promote that? Are my clients looking for that specific supplier? Are they looking to go on that cruise ship? Are they looking to do that one thing? If that's where my clients are, and if that's where they're wanting to go, sure, I'm all in. But if that's just a bright, shiny object and they're dangling a carrot to say, hey, over here, And I have to be really strict with that, because time, we've only got a certain amount of time to get through the day, to work with our clients, you know, to run our business. So I am very conscious of how I spend my time, who I am spending that with, and what is going to help my clients and also my business move forward.
Yes. Yes. And I love it both from the supplier aspect too, because we don't want to be wasting their time either if you're never going to be selling their product.
Why would we do that? Oh my gosh, we wouldn't do that. Why would you waste somebody else's time? We don't like it ourselves. If a client comes to us and just picks our brain, we don't like it. So why would we do that to anyone else? Don't do it, everyone. Don't do it.
Yeah. If you take anything away, I mean, there is a lot, but don't do that. Man, I could talk to you for probably hours.
Oh my gosh, Rita, I know. Me too. I think that we...
As we said before we even started recording, we were like, oh, quick, let's start recording this because we were getting off on our own tangents.
Yes.
There is so much that you and I could talk about. I want to learn more about your background and what you do. So yes. I'm excited that we can continue the conversation.
Yes, likewise. We'll have to have you come on at a future date. But please, before we jump off, how can people stay connected with you? And do you have going on anything through Travel Agent Achievers right now?
Well, yes. So Travel Agent Achievers, we've got the podcast. So you can listen to that in all your favorite places. Also on the website, which is just travelagentachievers.com. Facebook and Instagram, that's where I hang out and play. But we do have an incredible in-person experience that I've just launched yesterday, actually, to Fiji in November this year. So I'm bringing together travel professionals from all over the world to come together for 3 days, obviously extended a trip so that you can have your own sort of fam, but it's a business retreat. It's working on things in your business, reflecting on 2023 that's been, looking forward to 2024 and 25, planning things out. We are there to take action, but also to do it in an incredible destination, which is, of course, Fiji. So all of the details are on the website, which is travelagentachievers.com. Thank you, Rita.
Awesome. Thank you. Yes, I saw the big announcement. I was like, ooh, okay.
Oh, well, you know what? I chose Fiji because for you guys, like that's Fiji Airways have incredible flights to get from LA and San Francisco straight into Fiji. You lose a day when you're coming over, but you gain it going back, just so you know. You're not actually losing time. Yeah.
Right. It'll balance out. All right. Thank you so much, Roz, for being here. And thank you, travel business owners, for tuning in. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode as much as we have had conversing about it. And we will see you next week. Have a great one. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Remember to check out the show notes for all relevant links and resources from today's show. See you next time.